This is Pop Fiction Women. I'm Corinne.
I'm Kate, and we're complicated.
Blunt.
Total boss.
But sometimes a mess.
Opinionated.
But never boring.
And in this podcast, we're discussing the complicated women of the best books, TV, and movies.
Along with the complicated women behind the scenes. Warning, lots of spoilers ahead.
So come back when you're done.
Hurry up, it's starting. Okay, I May Destroy You, episodes 4 and 5. This worked out nicely, doing episode 3 as a standalone, and now 4 and 5 is this little Zane arc, I guess.
Yes.
So episode 4 starts, and she's at the therapist's office, right?
Yeah.
She's clearly very uncomfortable. And by the way, I think I said this to you offline. Yeah, that about me thinking this wasn't a show about sexual assault. Oh, yes. I thought it was going to be her life and how it would kind of pop up and not pop up and what would it affect and what would it not affect. But it's really, really, really center stage here. Woo. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that scene with a therapist, I mean, that was very powerful. I did think it was probably, I think I did say, I thought it was going to be more about dealing with it. And but just, you know, seeing how uncomfortable she is and like she sort of left her sort of chatty personality outside and how just the awkward pauses. But what got me was when she said that she repeats that mantra to herself whenever that there are hungry children, there's a war in Syria, not everyone has a smartphone, to remind herself of the bigger picture. And I think everybody, I've never had, fortunately, something like this happen to me, but I don't know. I do stuff like that all the time when when I think I'm wallowing a little. Like, you know, you're like, all right, come on. Like, you're very fortunate. You got this, you got that.
Yes.
Just the way she says it, and it obviously comes up later again when she's on the bus, when you see her.
That's,
there are hunger trails, and there's a war in Syria, and not everyone is.
That was scary.
Right?
She's like disassociating, though. Yeah. It's like she's like, it doesn't seem like a healthy coping mechanism. It seems like a way to just pretend it never existed, which is, I mean, there's got to be a balance between the two, right?
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And when the woman suggests like soothing activities, and just like yoga or jogging, I love, she's like handicrafts. I was like, what the hell are handicrafts? Yeah. She says, but then when she says, you know, painting or whatever, she's like, I know what I'm going to do. No, it's good. It's good. You know, I'll be fine.
Yeah. And then she picks up her phone and texts her roommate right then. And the therapist is like, hello. Hi. Yeah, she's clearly lost not only her personality, but her focus. And
completely.
Yeah. It's definitely disconcerting to watch. Again, I think in the first two, I said none of it made me uncomfortable. These two episodes made me very uncomfortable. Like,
very. And it keeps coming up. I mean, like you said, this entire episode, it just haunts her in different points in time.
Yeah. The way this episode is structured also feeds into that discomfort, because so not only are we dealing with Arabella not doing well in the aftermath, again, it's like really in your face now, and then it's also threaded with Kwame, right? And the Kwame stuff at first is a lot of sort of snippets, background. We're getting the build up to his as she's kind of coming down. He's in the grocery store bathroom and, you know, with the checkout guy clearly giving a blowjob. But they're painting him as having these sex escapades, which aren't necessarily bad, but also isolated, and you just have a bad feeling. Because of the things themselves, but because of the show. And you're like, oh God, where is this going? So I'm just feeling tense and I'm feeling uncomfortable, and I don't know what she's supposed to do. She's walking this line of ignoring it, but also dealing with it. And the flashbacks are clearly there for her.
Right. And we had just come off of episode 3, which was sort of Terry's arc and what had happened to her. And now you're right. You see Kwame in that bathroom. And I'm thinking, oh no, like what's, and again, not because of what he was doing, but even when he came out, you know, the guy made no eye contact with him and he looked uncomfortable. And I'm like, oh, this is, and you knew something. I think I said on one of the prior ones when he was looking through like the Grindr app, app. I was, and he had a look on his face. It's just, Yeah, the foreshadowing. You just know that this is...
Yeah. But then, I don't know. But then he's outside with the other guy, and they have kind of a nice conversation, right? Well, first there's the exercise class.
I love that scene too.
Yes. And he says, you have permission to be yourself here. And we see Arabella really kind of trying to get into it. I liked that.
Well, and you know, we talk about this all the time. Yes. I loved like the using exercise to like work shit out. And she is like punching and like really into it. And I love Kwame too. I mean, he's got that awesome outfit on, his workout clothes. And he's like in charge, you know? Like I love the energy. And then of course, though, you know, she lays on the ground and has another, like in the middle of class and has another flashback. So even in the middle of that, when she's, I think, you know, literally working it out. Trying to sweat it out, whatever. It's just, it just comes back to her.
It does. Yes. So that it's, we know it's not, that's not, it's not going to do it here. That's not going to be sufficient.
Painting and exercise are not going to do it.
Well, not yet. I mean, at this point, she hasn't really gotten into those things. I do think they are helping her in episode 5.
Yes, but eventually.
We'll come to that. Yes. And then after the exercise class, another guy comes to see Kwame. This time they seem to have a rapport, a relationship, as opposed to someone, you know, who's just a one-off, like the grocery store guy.
Yeah.
And they have kind of a nice conversation, although it's painful, but it's nice to connect, I guess. They're talking about his relationship, Kwame's talking about his relationship with his dad, and strained because of his sexuality. But then he's pushing, is it Damon you said?
Yeah,
Damon. To say, it's okay to say you're gay.
Yeah,
and he tells him, say what I am. I'm a gay guy. I'm not scared. Why would, and then he says, I'm not scared of you. And he says, why would I be? Again, more foreshadowing, but.
Yeah, but I love that he says, even if you never find an answer, I think it's cool you're asking the question. Like that. So he's not pushing Damon. He's like, that's cool.
That's right.
You're asking the question. And that's awesome, you know?
That's right.
I love that talk between them too.
I did too.
I mean, because they're both relating over how difficult it is with family and and to still to be out and that guy's struggling. But it's not like a big, you know, coming out or shouldn't I talk? It's just a very honest, like cool conversation between them. I did like that.
I agree. And that's
but then they have nowhere to go, right? So that's the other thing.
Right.
Like, because they all have to hide and they've got parents at home or whatever.
Right.
They have to look for another option.
Right. Which is when you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And then as you see Kwame, what he's looking for, I'm like, well, what are you doing? Are you actually, because it was like, are you really looking for connection, which I feel like you were really having with Damon. But then you're like looking for somebody who can host a third. Yeah.
I know. Like, it seemed like wasn't there another avenue? Meaning, what they really needed was just a place to go.
Yes.
How about a hotel?
Exactly.
Like, so that's what I thought he was gonna look for. Just some, or like an apartment they could use, or I have a friend I can use. You're right. Yes. And then I was like, oh, but why do we need the third? Because plus, this guy has just admitted to you that he's hesitant.
He doesn't
he's not
even
sure.
know. Right. Yes.
So I was like, this seems like a bad idea.
Oh, I know. And
it was.
Again, as we're seeing this stuff from Kwame, we're also flashing back and forth with Arabella ping-ponging between them. And she's so like Kwame's having this wonderful discussion. And then we see her on the bus doing this like disassociated mantra of like Syria and smartphones. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly. Like you said, she's having trouble focusing. So her agent set her up with a fellow writer, Zane.
Zane.
And they meet, you know, in this coffee shop. Yeah. And then I guess they're closing up. So they have to go to this other place, like a bar.
Right.
And this
which
woman,
she does not want to go to.
Exactly.
She's like, no, I'm not drinking. You can see she's, which then that felt very like, okay, that makes complete sense.
Right.
But then she ends up.
Right. She's trying to be like, ah, like I can do it. Yeah, sure. And then when the waitress.
Yeah, because most. She doesn't want to be alone. It's like you have to weigh two horrible things. Do I go to a place where they're drinking alcohol that makes me think of the time I was raped? Or am I alone when I'm alone, my thoughts, which will definitely talk thinking about rape and that horrible experience. So it's like, okay.
Then
so she chooses the alcohol. Yeah.
And chooses the alcohol, but then freaks out and won't even take water because there's also the fear of, God forbid, someone put something in my drink.
Right.
And that when, I mean, when the waitress comes back again, like I'm not drinking, like snaps, you know.
I know.
And that's when we see that Zane is douchey.
Wait, yeah. Is that when? I'm not sure.
That's when he says, like, he says it when they're sitting there, like, oh, you know, so that's when he says, what's your background? And she says, Ghana. And he's right. Like, haha. But,
yeah. Right. So, then Twitter.
Yes. She's... And he's like, who knew I could sub 3 years of uni for a Twitter account? Like, yeah. Just basically being a dick, like, oh, that's nice. Yes. You got a book deal by, yes. You know, expressing yourself on Twitter.
Online, yes.
But so, then yeah. She does go to her family's house. Yeah, who's the first time we've seen or even had her mention her family.
Yes, that's right.
All but to pick up some coloring pencils.
She doesn't say anything. But we do get a little bit of the vibe of that she hasn't been around a lot. And
yeah. And the brother does say, like, you live 3 minutes away, which I was like, oh. So
yeah,
that tells us something.
It does. She's purposely not dealing with them for some reason, whether she thinks they won't understand or she just doesn't want to. She wants to deal with it herself. Who knows? But
yeah,
she's definitely not. And she could be relying on them.
Right.
Oh, so then
Kwame.
Kwame and his threesome. Holy shit. Yeah. I mean, again, as we're building up, this episode is just so tense. You feel, I know I felt very disoriented. What is good here? What is bad here? What is normal? Meaning, like, I mean, Arabella's parts weren't really bad. They were normal reactions to what she had gone through. But, like, oh, you know, what are we expecting here? I don't know. And I was so disoriented and off kilter the whole time. And yeah. this was more of it, right? Because yeah. It seems consensual. Nothing's going on. It's the guy's going to hang the third guy's going to hang back. But then the new guy's kind of a dick. But Kwame seems to know how to handle it. I was like, I don't know what is going on right now.
And like, I don't know. I just felt from the minute he opened the door, like there was something off. I don't know if it was like the camera, like everything. And I was like, oh, but then you're right. I don't know. The guy, a jerk because he wants to do it without a condom. But Kwame, you're right. He handles himself. He's like, yeah, I'm not.
No, I don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy relents. So I was like, all right, you know, and he puts on a condom. So I'm like, oh, problem averted for now. But then Damon, though, you're right. I'm like, oh, God, that poor guy. He's just, you know, but then.
Oh, right. He God, doesn't know what he still doesn't know what he's like trying to play in the sandbox. And Kwame brought him to, like, you know,
brought him to the advantage. That was like, too much. This is a little soon. Too
much. Yes.
For the poor guy. But then that is how he ended up there alone. That's
Wait. Who for so
meaning
right.
That since Damon left. Leaves,
right.
That then
well, for up to back up to Kwame's flexibility.
Oh,
holy
my God.
Shit. Like,
I didn't know a human body could do that. I mean, well, you're a yoga person. I couldn't. Yeah. I mean, the legs up in the air. Jesus Christ. Wow.
That is not sustainable. That is some strength and flexibility.
Well, he is
shocking.
An exercise guy. I mean, he runs the exercise class.
Yes. But I was like, wow, that's something to behold. Yeah.
It was. It really was. I was like, what is happening right now? Yeah. Holy shit.
Yes, exactly. But then Damon leaves
and we should just say, how many times have we said in this show, and this is a perfect example, you don't see that on TV every day.
My gosh.
Talk about this show being so unprecedented and uncharted territory, exploring things that people don't talk about. People don't see that right there. This scene is a great example of that.
Absolutely. And by the way we also talk about how it explores the gray area. I mean, for whatever you felt or didn't feel, like however the show was setting you up to feel, if you take these first few minutes and meaning essentially the whole entire act that happens in this apartment is totally cool.
Yeah.
It was set up the way it was supposed to be set up. You know, the guys might be a little bit of a dickhead, but Kwame knows what he wants and he's into it. And the whole thing's consensual. They have a negotiation. I don't want to use a condom. Well, I don't do that. So he does. I mean, this whole thing is perfect negotiation, real life negotiation, right? Real life.
Up until this point. Yes, absolutely.
Right. Exactly. Up until the point when Kwame goes to leave and the guy pulls him back on the bed. And now this is where I said to you, I'm like, he says, I'm not going to have sex with you. But apparently what he does is just hump him to to completion.
Right. So it is an assault.
Yes, absolutely. No penetration.
There's no penetration.
Right. But yeah, but under...
But Kwame's face, the shaking. Oh.
Exactly. And goes outside and calls Arabella and just like that one tear. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
Forget about the law. It's so such a good point. Forget about the law, which it is illegal to do that, or it is assault. Kwame's face says it all, like, it and does. His reaction, his immediate reaction. Unlike, you know, we've now seen so many different types of reactions, right? And some delayed, yes. some delayed with, but changed with new information. Some delayed because of drugs or whatever. This is like immediate. He knows this felt horrible to him. This is not what he wanted. Oh, it's terrible.
Right. And this is the first one where we're really seeing the act play out. I mean, we just see that flashback, very brief flashback of Arabella.
For Arabella.
Even Terry, we see a lot. Face when those guys, yes. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But at the time that what we're seeing, we don't know what we're seeing. It doesn't seem bad until they walk away.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And because it's the new information as opposed to it's the new information that changes her, whether her consent was valid or not.
Exactly.
This one is
different. Another variation. But this one was hard to watch. His face was just the pain was so vivid on there. God.
Absolutely. And then Arabella, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't know.
On the other side of town, she's back with Zane because, again, she can't be alone. She gets her colored pencils and somehow he ends up back at her apartment. And they start to kind of go at it, kind of ribbing each other. She says, "You must be hugging your certificate. You went to Cambridge."
I love that.
Right? I did love that too. But then... it goes very quickly to, like, we're just going to have sex. Should we do it now?
I know.
Right? Yeah. Well, I was just, I didn't get that spark between them.
No,
I
exactly.
I didn't see that at all.
I'm just like, I didn't see exactly. That's what it was. It wasn't this, like, immediate chemistry thing for me where I was like, oh, totally. I get that. I was like, really? Zane and you? I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't get it at all. Unlike Biagio, right, where we see right off the bat the chemistry there. And then that slowly develops into something deeper, but we see the chemistry right away. And I jumped
too quick to that. I mean, a little banter, like one little joke, and now
But I really did love the line when she's like, why don't you care about my book? Because that's a little bit of a hint that maybe she's trying to do it to, like, prove herself, right? That she's going to have sex with him will impute some sort of legitimacy for herself, not to the outside world, because the outside world loves her. Right. But for herself, like, oh, if this real literary guy will fuck me, then I guess.
Yeah, I guess. But then I thought his answer was good because you don't care about you.
I loved it too. Right? Yes, because you don't. And then, I thought that was kind of very insightful banter. So, again, we don't need to keep saying how smart this show is, but that's just one of those examples where I feel like that one line back and forth says a lot about what's actually going on here. It's not the same chemistry as Biagio. This is something else. This is a substitute for something else, a quick way to get whatever else she's looking for. So, so then they're having sex and, and he tells her to turn around and in the meantime takes off the condom that he had put on.
What the fuck?
I know. That's what I was like, what the fuck?
I'm like, what is he doing? What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Literally. We're like, dick, as we talk.
Yeah. About. Yes. Yes.
Literally.
Yeah. Afterwards, he comes clean. He tells her, obviously, what he thinks what he's done is either not wrong or doesn't care, like actively doesn't care, because he doesn't even try to. He could have just left it there, or he could have just put it in the garbage, right? And never.
But then he's all, you know, I thought you knew.
Oh, yeah. He's gaslighting her after.
Completely.
After she makes a big deal out of it, when he clearly is saying it's not a big deal. Look, I showed you. Here it is. And then, he's gaslighting her. He's like, oh, I thought you knew. She's like, what the fuck?
How would I know? Exactly.
Can't see what's going on.
And then she's like, demands that he buy her the morning after pill.
Yeah. But you say demand, but it's very chummy, right?
It's true.
Uh-huh. Which is heartbreaking, by the way, because this happens all the time that women then feel like they have to reverse engineer some sort of real relationship with a guy who's just violated them.
Yes.
Because that's an easier way to, you know, to get some closure or deal with it or just wrap the whole thing up and be like, you know what? We tried to have a relationship and it didn't work. Instead of having, because you could see she's not handling how to manage the bad feelings from the drug rape well. So she's like, I don't know how to do this one. So I guess I'm just gonna, but it's all subconscious, right? Because she's not saying that or we have no indications she's even thinking that. But we do know from stories out there that this is what happens often, that women have to reverse engineer some sort of relationship to make it okay. That something that was clearly not okay.
Absolutely. But the fact that this could happen to her again. Yes. So, you know, I mean, I understand it's a different situation, but removing a condom after your partner has asked you to wear one is a violation of their trust and counts as sexual assault. I mean, it's against their will.
It exposes them to diseases, pregnancy, everything.
It's a violation.
Yes, exactly. It is a violation. It's not actually against the law in the United States. It is against the law in the UK. So she is right.
Which we find out later. Yes. But even before I knew that, I mean, whether legally what it was, I'm just like, how is this happening?
Oh, I Googled.
Yeah. Okay. So, right? I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is the hard part. And this is, I kind of had a hard time with these two episodes because of the time frame. We don't know exactly, but like a month. Maybe this is not a year later. This is not 2 years later. But I was taking a walk last night and I was thinking she had to do this way, you know, for the dramatization purposes, because you can't just do somebody's entire life and be like, okay, all of these things could definitely happen in someone's adult life. But we're getting it in such a condensed period of time. Right. It's a little hard to take, but it's probably better that way for the show's purposes. Right.
Yes. Yes. It is hard to take, though. We're just bombarded with just like violations of consent in all different ways, right?
And, yes, absolutely.
In different ways and shapes and forms. And I mean, I guess obviously that's what she wanted to show.
Yeah.
In all these different gray areas. And again, how one situation moves from a consensual one 2 seconds later being a non-consensual one or rape.
Yes.
Or assault.
Yes.
I mean, just within the same sexual experience.
I mean, with the exception of the inciting incident, the drug rape, that has happened to everyone.
Everyone
consented to a threesome, but she consented with people who didn't know each other, this kind of magical fantasy. We all came together, and then that was taken away, so her consent was taken away. Kwame consents to sex, but then does not consent to the second act, which is frauderism. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Oh.
She's amazing putting all of these different types of questions. I mean,
Arabella, right?
And then Arabella's second one with the condom.
Was consensual until he took off the condom.
Which is called stealthing.
Yes.
Yes. The show is a fucking education. It's not just great entertainment.
Absolutely.
It is truly an education, which is, you know, I always think about it. I've watched these two episodes now a bit ago. I've had some time to process them. Usually we do these recaps very quickly, but because this is leaking out so slowly in the US.
HBO.
Exactly. I've had some time to think about it. And I, as much as my reaction, I wasn't in love with it in the beginning when I first saw them. I'm like, oh, this is too much. When I've had some time to process, even just a week, it stays with you. It stays with you in a good way. Like that this is something worth thinking about and talking about. And we've never seen it. And I could see it. I mean, as a writer, my impulse would be like, this is too much. I need to make it a year later, or I need to make it a flashback, or I need to not have so many things going on. The brilliance of Michaela Cole is that she does not fucking back off. And it's the right decision. As hard as it is to watch in the moment,
yes,
it is so the right decision.
We're being bombarded And that's on purpose. I think she wants us to feel this uncomfortable. And no, you can't get a break. No, you can't say it happened a year later. Nope.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep coming at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it works. It's effective.
It does. And it does make it more lasting. Like I said, it stays with you. And that is important. And I think that's what she really wants, is not for you to just experience one woman's one issue. It's to really take away all of this gray area and think, what the fuck can we do about this stuff? Like, what, we need to be talking about this so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So episode 5, she's still with Zane. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I know. I was like, what?
Yeah, I know. Not only for what he did, but just, I just don't even get it.
Because I don't even like him. There's not that really any redeeming quality about
him.
You know, but he's going to get his. So we'll.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, they're hanging out and it seems fine. But you're like, yeah, what is she doing?
Yeah. I don't know if they said how much time has passed, but clearly some time has passed. She seems to have taken up yoga. I think it was like she was on day something. She's painting. She's obviously taken the therapist's advice to heart and she's working on these things. And it's clearly, we'll see by the end of this episode, it's helping her process in some way.
Yes.
So
yeah. Now when it starts with her opening up and doing yoga, I'm like, immediately I was like, all right, like she looks like she's getting up early to do her yoga. And I was like, all right, that was putting my mind at ease for this one.
Yes. Oh, but I was thinking, to do that wheel cold.
I was going to ask you
about this. Is not easy. I mean, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
She's obviously very flexible.
The resident yogi here.
Yeah.
And when she started doing that, I was like, oh, that looks hard. That's a hard move. I'm like, I'm going to have to ask Corinne. So you confirmed it.
That shit
is hard.
I mean, it's not necessarily that hard, but an asana practice works up to harder poses, and that is a harder pose. So to be able to just do that cold, where she hasn't done, 12 sun salutations and hip openers and shoulder openers, she's just gone straight into that. That's pretty advanced. Most people's lower backs would seize up.
Wow. That was badass to me.
Yes, totally. So
she's listening to a podcast though, right? While she's doing her yoga, where they're talking about men taking off condoms on purpose, that this is a thing. That puts a little idea in her head there.
It does. But also, again, what's happening is she's losing focus. She's doesn't really know what she's doing, where she's going. She wanders into the hair salon. I don't know if she had an appointment or not.
I don't know.
Right.
She seems to know the hairdresser.
She does, because she says, do you want the regular braids? And she comes out with a shaved head. Now, my God, she looks incredible.
Yeah, her face, her bone structure is so beautiful.
It's crazy. Her face and her head is also just so fucking beautiful. I have a tiny little pinhead. If I shave, I know I have I have too much big hair, but if I shaved it off, I would be this like teeny tiny little head, like in Beetlejuice or something, like with this little head on a normal body.
And I just have a giant head and giant hair, so I would look like I don't even know what. So
well, she looks so fucking stunning.
She looks gorgeous.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah.
And she goes to meet her publisher, who loved it too.
That's right. And this is the first time that Arabella's meeting her, and she realizes she's Black, and she's like, holy.
I love that there's nothing subtle about that, like maybe someone else in their head would think, oh, that's cool, she's Black. Like, I've walked into meetings where something about the person like puts me at ease, because I'm like, oh, they also, I don't know, it's not always what they
whatever
look like,
it whatever. Is.
But she just right out loud, oh my God, you're Black. Like, I love it.
Which also made me wonder, though, is that the side effect of her not really having focus, and so she doesn't have a sensor, or is that part of her personality starting to come back?
I felt like it was part of her personality starting to come back.
Agreed. Yeah. And so we do see this arc is between 4 and 5 is her getting more fucked up and then starting to dig herself out from the second hole, at least.
Right.
We know we still have the first roofie rape, but this Zane hole she's really quickly digging herself out of.
Right.
So I did think that was part of her personality. And then she has
the police, a call from the police.
That's right. She's going to go down to the station.
They have some DNA evidence on her flannel shirt.
and they need to get samples from consensual partners, which is going to create an issue for Biagio, obviously. Yeah.
Because he doesn't know about the assault. And of course, the officer's like, well, you should let him know quickly.
Yeah. But also, not only does he not know about the assault, he is also a drug dealer and does not want to voluntarily go down to a police station for any reason.
Which Terry says that was the best. She's like, because he's an Italian drug lord. And then everyone's like, ha ha ha.
Just kidding.
But not at all. Yeah. The woman, the detective's like, mm-hmm. Okay. At the precinct is when she, Arabella, asks one of the officers directly whether taking the condom off during sex, unbeknownst to the other person, is considered rape. And she says under UK law it is. So then.
Oh, right. She's unequivocal. She's like, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's then when Kwame gets the idea too. How about non-consensual humping? Yes. He literally Googles that.
Googles it. Yes.
I love Google. Let's just put in non-consensual humping considered assault.
Yes. But, and we could just talk about this now. When he does go to report it, he does not, I mean, he's been there with Bella twice now. And she has had, for a horrible situation, she has had wonderful experiences with the authorities, right? This woman has been, this woman has been supportive. She's let her come to her, you know, to realization on her own, but like gave her space for that, but also is like unequivocally, this is rape. We are going to pursue this. This is illegal. Like we need to be working on this. And Kwame has a very, very different experience.
Yes. I mean, that when he meets with the officer, that was polar opposite and so painful, because you're right. I mean, the woman was so kind to Arabella. Remember how she even stood up to show her, like, well, your perception from when you're sitting, and you were like, that was really like the light bulb moment for her. This guy is like, you know, wait, what's your username? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
making it so, well, I need to put down some name. So what was the name? And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And where, what, I need an address. It's like, what? And he's like, oh, maybe this is a case for like special unit. Yeah. Oh, well, he didn't penetrate you. Like,
exactly.
It was horrible. Oh, my God. And then when he says, I guess to check whether he penetrated him, he's like, to check by putting my fingers in my anus.
Yes.
And the cop, that was it for him. He's like, and I'm going to have to go somewhere
give
else.
This to us.
But you can see the way they would treat a man or a black man in particular who comes in with these kind of, you know, allegations was just completely different.
Different.
I'm sure the stigma there is still.
Yeah. But you mean a gay man, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what it really is. Because if it was a straight man coming in and saying, that guy might have been like, oh, what the fuck? You got so fucked over. And, you know.
Yes.
But it's this gay man who's on Grindr. And it's just, he has these perceptions. The officer seems to have these perceptions right away that discount everything that Kwame actually experienced. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. And they've set it up as a shock even to us, because for some reason in our minds, to forget about what we all know about actual reality, in our minds, Arabella has had such wonderful experiences at this police station. And so you think to yourself, Kwame will be taken seriously the same way she was. And nope,
not at all.
Oh, and then Bella has one of these flashbacks where she is the one hovering over herself. Oh, that was intense.
Yeah. That was intense. And I was like, what is going on there?
Yeah. And I once again thought of the title, I May Destroy You. Who is destroying whom here, right?
Oh, yes.
I love the way they're playing with that. It's so, I don't think, we're never going to get an answer. I think the answer is everything. The answer, like in all of these shades of consent and assault, the answer is everybody. Everybody's destroying everybody.
Right. Yes, exactly. And that we can be sort of our own worst enemy, too, like our minds and our reactions to things. And you're right. We're not going to get an answer, though.
No. But they're going to keep playing with it. And I love it. That scene was so powerful. I mean, how long did it last? How many things are we talking about where it's one line of dialogue or two lines of dialogue
or
one flash that is so powerful? I don't know. I don't make TV, but man. I can imagine people who do work in TV are watching this show like mind fucking blown. This is what you could do.
This is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez. Okay. So then are we going anything else before?
Reading?
Yeah, to the reading.
No, I think it was just there was a few little bit about how they get to the reading, but you know, yeah, Bella,
yeah. Right. Terry's supposed to be reading it, and then she mm-hmm. starts to panic as she gets there, which is part of her own stuff going on.
Bella's also ignoring Biagio's calls.
Oh, right. Well, so they have talked, right? She did talk to him, and he was pissed.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And he's like,
that's right before the reading. Yeah. He's yelling at her, basically. Yeah.
And all she has said at this point is, I got drugged. She didn't say anything about the assault. She didn't even say anything.
Yeah. And he's already yelling at her. You let someone put something in your drink. You have to watch your drink in the club.
Yes. So she's like, I don't have time for this.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Click. Gotta go. Yes.
Yeah.
Which I understand. But oh, gosh. Yeah. So then at the reading, I don't know what she was going. Do you know? Was she going to read something like that anyway, do you think? Or does she get up there and see Zane with his mom and is like, I got to fucking call him out on this?
I don't think she was going to do it premeditated.
Right, Terry was going to read something else.
Terry was going to read something else. And then I think what also happened is with that discussion with the other woman, like Susan Henny's assistant.
Uh-huh.
And which I couldn't exactly understand, but it was clear to me that she was saying something like that he had done something to her.
Yeah, because the thing I picked up on was she said you got to protect yourself.
Protect yourself from his nature.
Yes. And
so
that,
I think that's what pushed her over the
edge. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But, and then when Terry couldn't do it, I think she got up there, she just saw him trying to be Mr. Nice Guy.
Literary.
Pretending to sit there with his mom and be Mr. Literary, whatever. And she was
Cambridge
like, you know
guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I got something else to say is what I was picturing in my mind.
But also, we forgot to say that there have been multiple times in this episode when she has said Zane, whatever his name is Tareen. A rapist.
Yeah.
Is a rapist, and he raped me. And we see her say that in the boardroom. We see that when she says that when they're painting. And we don't know if we're hearing things.
Yes. It's like a Fleabag moment, like when she turns to the camera and finally the priest hears her. Like, I didn't know, were we supposed to...
Is she saying that out loud, or is she not saying that out loud, or is she saying it in a way that it sounds, you know, because at first when they're at the conference room table, she's talking about her being sexually assaulted by the guy who drugged her. And then she says, yeah, and I even know his name. And then she says Zane, but it was an awkward transition in the conversation because Zane is helping her, and
exactly.
But then she says it again when they're painting. She says it to him, and
he hears it.
Yeah,
he
reacts.
Face.
Yeah.
So I've totally forgot about that. Thank you. Yeah. And then so I don't know what again. Maybe.
So I think those pieces are leading us to where she's going to on the podium. And we as the audience feel a little more prepared for this than Zane does, or maybe even than Arabella does at the moment. But we see her practicing these words already. And then when Susie's assistant says, protect yourself from him, that is the last straw for her. And she's like, I'm ready to say this. Now,
speech.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
How did you feel about this?
Her doing it?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You thought it was too much, too aggressive?
I will say my first reaction was I never had any doubt that she was right. Like, she's right. Everything she's saying is right. He did this. There's no gray area here, right? They've set this up that there's zero gray area in the acts. And it doesn't matter that she like went on to have a relationship with him. None of that matters. What he did was sexual assault, took away her consent, period. Not allowed under UK law. And just douchey regardless of the law. Right. So that part is clear. But I don't know. Her doing it in such a public way. But then I was like, well, what is the right way? Like, how should she have done it? That would have been better. I'm just acknowledging my first reaction was feeling like maybe this was an accumulation of things.
I was going to say that he was bearing the brunt of both assaults. And now, right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That she. Yeah, I think so. But yeah. I guess I viewed it more from her perspective in the sense that I felt so good for her that she was able to sort of take ownership of this situation and
call it out.
And yes, you're right, though. It was probably she called it out in that way because of also what happened to her previously, which he had nothing to do with.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know.
I'm just saying that was my first reaction. And by the end of it, especially afterwards as it's going viral, I was like, you know what? There is no right way. And what she did was what she did. And it's kind of interesting. It's really fucking amazing, by the way, how all of these shows that are coming out during this pandemic, I think we talked about Little Fires Everywhere and kind of starting to see the cages around people and then Normal People coming out when we needed kind of an escape and this love story. And now this coming out with, especially in this moment of like cancel culture and people talking about whether cancel culture is a thing or whether it's fair to people and what's okay to say and what's not okay to say. I actually was like, I love it because I just saw something this morning. Oh, it's funny. It's Philippa Sue who tweeted it, actually, bringing it back to Hamilton.
There
and she says, if you've been canceled and you don't want to be canceled, do the fucking work. You don't have to stay in anonymity forever. You listen, you understand who you've offended, how you've offended, and you do the work to bring yourself back. So I find this very timely, which is completely not possible to have orchestrated other than, the universe doing it.
Yes.
But I definitely by the end got to that he deserved exactly what he got. And if he can fucking figure it out and restore himself to wherever society is interested in having him be after that.
And I think one of the reasons, like we said, that she's doing it is because she doesn't think this is his first time. I mean, she says she believes he's 100%. A predator.
Yes.
She's like, I am not the first. It won't be the last. He is a rapist. And she says, not rape adjacent, rapey.
I love that.
He is a rapist under UK law. And that line, that's why I was like,
I loved that. I didn't even know rape adjacent was a thing. It is a thing.
I know. And is a bit rapey a thing?
I actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. I have that in a novel I wrote, in a draft of a novel I wrote.
I love that. So she's like, don't even with any of those. Yes. He's a rapist.
I loved that too.
And I love Terry when he's walking out. She's like, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah. And she's like,
she goes, you're going to feel it.
Yeah. Because she's got it in his face. I definitely loved it. But I just wanted to acknowledge my initial feeling was,
which I'm sure a lot of people's like, oh, that's a little harsh, like, you know, which is a reaction people would have,
calling up all of that training that we've had.
But they break the internet with the video too, I love it. But then poor Kwame, back to him at the police station, and the cops like, you had consensual sex with him, so you won't be able to prove anything. And again, with the back and forth, like, she's just had this amazing moment of like a takedown and getting her voice heard, and then Kwame deflated and getting no help and feeling totally unheard.
Yes. But then don't we actually end with Biagio?
Yes.
Right. So she tells him.
He's yelling at her over this video call, like, don't trade drinks from people. Yes. And she's like, oh, you mean except from drug dealers?
Yes. Like,
and then he says, you're fucking up my life.
Yeah.
I have to go to the station.
Yeah.
So he's telling her that she did something wrong. Like, if you watched your drink, you wouldn't have been raped.
See, now, yes. Well, he certainly does say that before the reading. He does specifically say that, like, you have to watch, meaning like you have to be responsible for your drink. And I mean, there is some truth there.
Yes.
You should watch. I mean, how many times have we been told, like, you know, as much as people should not put drugs in other people's drinks, you also you can also be aware of that. I mean, there was a period of time when I wouldn't drink anything that was poured. right? It was only bottles that were opened and just seemed like smart choices. But
it does, although I've never considered that in my life.
Oh, God.
I know. I know. Oh, as a general matter, what he's saying is correct. You should
be careful. Anyway, but here's the thing. So, yeah, it is fucked up. And again, where we're playing in all of these gray areas, I'm not sure he's saying, like, you're ruining my life because of what you did. He's saying, truthfully, a drug dealer can't go down voluntarily to a police
station. That part, I agree with you. I think when he's saying, you're fucking up my life, I have to go to the station. He's like, yes. Yeah.
I mean, and it's all sorts of twisted valid, but is it like, is it not that important because he is a drug dealer? Is he less of a human being because he's a drug dealer?
Well, she could say, well, if you weren't a drug dealer, then you wouldn't have to worry about going to the police station.
She could.
That's your choices that are illegal.
But she knew it. She knew that he's a drug dealer, right? And so to have said, couldn't she have just left him out of it?
True. I mean, I guess when they asked him, she didn't. Yeah. But the line, if you watched her drink, you wouldn't have been raped.
Yeah.
Was harsh.
No, agreed. Absolutely.
That's victim blaming.
Totally. 100%. 100%. But like I was saying with this whole show, she doesn't leave it at that.
No.
Because that is, in and of itself, not okay. But then it's like, well.
So if I was writing the show, which is why I'm not nearly as brilliant as her, once she started crying, okay, he says the horrible thing. She puts her lap, slams her laptop down, starts to cry. I thought that was going to turn into a scene of that was going to be the end of the episode to her crying. You feel so badly for her. But no. Then she just like stops after like a second, smiles, and starts snapping selfies of herself.
Yes, I know. Oh, which was sad.
Yeah, I thought it was sad too. I'll just put on a happy face and pretend for social media.
Yeah.
Like and this like, doesn't really bother me. I defense mechanism.
And like she has this victory over here, right? She's taking down Zane.
Yes.
And empowering women to come up with their stories about him, which is truly great.
Amazing.
And empowering. Mm-hmm. But here she is having this other situation that's not going well. And then this other relationship that's now complicated and falling apart in ways. And she's like, it's like, which face do you put on? She's got to put down her Zane taking down face.
Right.
And it's a lot.
Versus the Biagio blaming her face.
Yes.
And Biagio, she cares about him. So she cares what he thinks.
Yes. I know. She is good. And I am now obsessed with the song that was playing at the end of this episode.
I saw your Instagram story on that. So, of course, I've been playing it. Oh, my God. What's it called
again? Pink by Janelle Monáe. Yes. Yeah. Janelle Monáe. I'm a fan. I love it.
The music in the show is great.
Oh, my God.
We've talked about that a lot. But this was the first one where I was like, oh, I'm going to go look that up.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We'll be back with, I guess, two more, hopefully. This really is killing me. I mean, I know I got to stop complaining.
HBO doesn't care what we say.
There's
not
a war in Syria.
And not everybody has a smartphone.
Not everybody has a smartphone.
And there are hungry children, Corinne. All right. So we can wait for more episodes.
It's painful. And to know that, and I keep seeing ads. You know, this is not the 90s or the 2000s or anything. This is social media. I see posts from the UK.
I know.
They are so far in, they're almost done.
I know.
They're at the penultimate episode. This week they'll have the finale. And now I have to wait in another 5 or 6 weeks.
It's ridiculous. That's crazy. It's too
ridiculous.
Much.
It's ridiculous. All right. Well, I guess I'll wait anyway. I'm not going to stop watching it.
No, definitely not.
All right.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated.